Live from Denver in high definition. The Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. 1-888-99-IDOBI. Facebook.com/EJC Show. EJC Show on Twitter. And now, Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
We're the best three friends that anybody can have.
Now, you're gonna love it when you start out the show with technical issues.
Well, it was user issues. It wasn't technical. Oh.
So we do have audio in the headphones.
Welcome to another great EJC show.
With technical problems starting. Hello, everybody.
What is wrong with you? What's wrong?
I just got to turn my thing. There we go. Now I can hear myself. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the EJC show. We have a good show for you.
I feel like sometimes, like, the technical issues, like what we're having, we just need a go on without
addressing
them.
Why?
Because that would be professional.
You're trying to be a professional broadcaster? Right. Like,
I don't know. In the truest sense of the definition of professional broadcaster, that is what we are.
Well,
you're trying to be a good professional broadcaster?
I'm just saying.
There's a big difference between you and Scott Pelley. Let's just say that.
No.
Yeah.
I can stand in front of a green screen.
Well, your toupee is a little nicer. Besides that.
I won't stand for the Scott Pelley bashing.
It's funny how Eddie always notices his hair. Like, are you envious of his hair?
Have we talked about Scott Pelley before?
I don't know. Scott Pelley, the anchor of the CBS News. He seems like a nice guy.
60 Minutes.
I have nothing bad to say about Scott Pelley. He's a trustable newsman. He's a
great Scott.
He's got a slight Southern accent, so you trust everything he says. And
it's not a heavy Southern accent to where you wouldn't trust anything he says.
Right, it's just perfect. Yeah. It's like a warm, welcoming Southern, just a slight Southern
draw. He's got that Southern lawyer thing where it seems like maybe he, you know, defended a black guy in court instead of is a member of the Klan.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we have a big show. We're actually going to premiere a new song from an artist called Nikki Venus, his song Legacy. We're going to world premiere that here in just a little bit. So that'll be happening here on the EJC show. But first, we're going to talk to Evan Bacon. Or is it Bacon? Bacon? Do we know how to say his
Bacon.
His name? Should we should probably not say his last name now because
Bacon.
Anyways, he's from
Bakken. It's Bakken. Sorry.
Yeah, I know it is. I'm just kidding.
God.
Well, he of course plays. He's a drummer for the movie Life, but he just started his own business called Eft Mega, and it's like a digital music store. And he wants to compete with the big guys, and he thinks that he has a business plan that is better. So we're going to talk to him about this. In fact, we're supposed to get him on right now. Why don't we just do that?
Is this hour brought to you by Eft Mega?
Well, we're going to send him an invoice after the interview, yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Gotta get paid.
Let's get Evan on the line here. It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. You can tweet us, EJC show, if you want to do that. Also join us in our chat room, SIDOBI.com/EJCVIP. Hey, Evan, how you doing? This is the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. You're live on Adobe Radio.
I'm live right this second.
You're live right this second. Are you ready for your big interview?
Sure. By the way, that was pretty on time, like to the second.
Right. We're very punctual people here. We got you on right when we said we would.
Right.
Pro.
And this
can
is
can I curse or no cursing?
You're welcome to curse. You're welcome to curse.
But you do owe us a dollar every time you do it.
Dollar in the swear jar?
Yeah. Yep. We're gonna put you in the swear jar.
All right,
so
I'll keep it clean.
Everyone knows Evan, of course, drummer for the movie Life, very good band. You guys have been around for a long time, but now you're on to this new venture called Eft Mega, which is what you're calling a radical new artist and consumer-friendly digital music store at eftmega.com, where people can go there and buy music. So tell us a little bit about it. Why did you start this thing to begin with?
Started it because I was annoyed forever with the state of the music industry and the way, you know, artists like myself, you know, our careers ended up. The fact that, you know, we had little choice in order to grow without, you know, being on a label and then dealing with terms that were fairly unfavorable. And now, as time went on, you know, and the record industry had more trouble selling music, their terms got even less favorable with artists, and nobody was coming up with what I thought was a good solution. And, you know, what do you do when that happens? You can get out of the music business or you can try to fix it. And so I figured, you know, I met a lot of these people. I felt I was as smart as any of them, so why not try to come up with, you know, a better model for selling music. I mean,
so you launched this music store, and it's a very competitive thing. I mean, you have iTunes you're going against, obviously. You have the non-traditional services like Spotify. I guess they're traditional now, where people can go on and stream anything they want. There's SoundCloud. There's Bandcamp. There's a million of them out there. What makes you think that F Mega is going to come out victorious, or at least carve its own little niche?
Because I feel like most of those sites aren't what they seem. I think really, and when you dig deep and look at most of them, music's an afterthought. It's just a means to get people on so you can sell them other services or market to them differently. You know, I felt like most of them didn't even get what music was about. They weren't even founded by people that, you know, made a living, playing music. They were founded by other people, and then they brought music people on later to sort of enhance the sites.
Right.
So I think they really missed the boat. I think, first of all, none of them really cater to the punk, metal, hardcore world. So as far as the niche goes, I feel like that you know, market is being largely underserved. I feel like most of them are now approaching streaming as the be-all, end-all and are leaving sales. And I think, you know, digital downloads are way more important.
Do you think people? But do you think? Do you think the consumers are still going to pay for music at this point? I mean,
I think, you know what? I think that there's plenty that will. I think without a doubt, there's so many that won't. And like when I was in a band, you know, back in the day, there was plenty of people that didn't, you know, that just liked stuff on radio and would buy singles, and really didn't get behind music. And then there was people like me and my friends and the, you know, all our fans and stuff, that treated music differently, that loved music, you know, that music meant more to them, or, you know, got them through times, or they were way more loyal than fair weather radio people. So I feel like those fair weather radio people will now go to the streaming, and there's plenty of people that will still buy stuff. I mean, there's plenty of people that still buy vinyl, you know? So I think there's a good market for it. And if someone like me is doing it, and I don't, you know, have all kinds of upfront costs and all kinds of licensing expenses and all kinds of overhead, I don't need a million artists or a million albums sold to make it a viable business, you know?
Now, you're selling every album on the site for $6.25, and artists actually get $5 of each sale, which is very generous of you. You could have even done $3 or $2, and you would have been better than the rest of the guys. So why are you doing $5? You're putting yourself out of business.
We figured it out, and you know, if my math is right and my Excel and my budgets work out, then I won't be out of business. But yeah, I'm certainly not trying to make a killing. I wanted, you know, I was an artist. I wanted to be as artist friendly as possible, but I still need to make some money to, you know, cover the bandwidth and the cost to operate and stuff like that. So there's enough in there for me, and the goal is obviously to give most of it to the artist, because for the longest time the artist got so little of it.
Well, let's dive into your Excel spreadsheet real quick.
Sure.
How are we looking there? I mean, like, how many artists do you need to sign up to make this thing worth your time?
How many artists? Well, this year, I would, right now our goal was 50 in the first 3 months. I think we're at 43 or 44, and I have about a month and a half to go.
Nice.
So I think that's good. And I think the goal was something like 365, like a band a day, by the end of 12 months. So if I can get there, you know, again, I don't need, you know, thousands and thousands of artists to make it work. So if the sheet doesn't lie, then I'll be okay if I hit like 365 by October 2016.
It seems like the way that the only way that you're going to be able to get this model to work is if you're able to convince the artists to, you know, abandon the free streaming services and come over to your site, because, you know, if the album is out there for free to stream, then they're not going to be able to sell the product. So do you think you're going to be able to convince artists to do that?
We'll see. I mean, I hope so. I know that so many artists are annoyed, upset, even, you know, larger ones. There's always articles written about them, you know, week to week, that are unhappy with the streaming, unhappy with the payouts, unhappy with, you know, the platforms. And yeah, I think I can get enough artists on board, because I think a lot of them are unhappy. A lot of them that want to give, you know, a career in music a go now feel like they can't, because there's just not enough money into it, you know, in it. And I think, you know, I'm trying to do that. You know, I in addition to obviously to the selling features of the site, I blog about stuff. I write about, you know, my experience in dealing with these things. And then I interview other bands and they talk about their experience. So I do think there's plenty of artists who are into the idea and would switch over, or not even switch over, just choose, you know, right off the bat to try to sell their stuff first. I don't see why not. We shall see.
Do you think this will make artists, smaller artists, more litigious, the way some of the bigger artists have, you know, tried to protect their copyright and prevent?
Yeah,
you know,
I think so, and I think
downloads.
That's the move for anyone these days. You know, to be much more aware of what you're doing and how you're doing it. And, you know, you have to be better at everything, you know, like, so you know, in addition to being good at the business end, you have to be better, you know, at the content end, the social media, all that stuff. Whereas, you know, back in the day, all you needed to do was play, you know, write a couple of good songs and you'd be set. So yeah, I think you have to be much better at everything, but, you know, there's a lot of people that say, you know, you have to treat this more as a business and be more, you know, cognizant of the things you do business-wise, and at the end of the day, take stock of, you know, what you did and the costs involved, and be more money conscious and stuff. So I think that artists are doing that because the money is so tight, and if they are on the site and can make, you know, money doing it, yeah, they will be more litigious. But it'll help them, because then they'll have more money, they'll have more control, and hopefully they'll have a longer career.
Do you think that'll create a more antagonistic atmosphere between artists and fans?
What do you mean?
Well, if artists become more...
Why would the fans get...
Well, if the artists are becoming more litigious, you know, that could sow resentment in the fan base. You know, and if the artists are...
You know what? I think... I want to say no, because I think the whole idea of this is trying to work with the fans and get them on board and get them to pay. And by what I'm doing on the site, we're showing, you know, the sort of artists who are working the hardest and highlighting them. I think fans are more apt to pay for things like that. So I think I'm trying to create the atmosphere of hardworking, and I think people will respect that and they will support the artists more under those circumstances. So I'm hoping it creates more of a community than a more, you know, antagonistic sort of culture.
Well, Eft Mega, that's the website, eftmega.com. Everybody go there. That's EFT Mega. Buy some music. So your 7-point plan behind Eft Mega, let's go to this real quick. Number one, you only sell albums, so no singles.
Right, no singles.
No singles.
Don't like singles. Don't feel they do anything. Don't create a good enough picture of the band. Don't give a person enough material to get behind, a reason to go see a show, a reason to buy an album.
Well, now with that, you know, without singles,
band
most bands wouldn't reach any success without singles. I mean, they do have their place. I mean, they have to be played on the radio. They get to
sure. I don't mind promoting a single, okay, because that's you know, the sort of free enticement to get somebody to hear the whole album. So I'm for picking a song at one point in time, you know, and using that, you know, as a marketing tool. But I don't want to sell the single, you know, to unbundle an album and make all the tracks for sale individually.
Gotcha.
I feel
so
album as a whole should be purchased.
No 99-cent downloads. No 99
right,
cent downloads. So gotcha. Okay.
Right.
And every album's albums only. And the second point on this plan is every album is $6.25. You talked about that a little bit.
Right.
That $6.25, it's to me, just looking at it, seems kind of arbitrary, but why'd you come up with that number? What do you think? Do you think that's a comfortable cost point or price point for music consumers, or what? Did you do any research on that?
Yeah.
Or what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like some of its rationale was, you know, you don't want it to be obviously zero. You don't want it to be as high as 10, because 10 seems to be the going rate for streaming and subscriptions and owning, so sort of an unlimited catalog. So you want it to have some value somewhere in the middle, and I always wanted to give artists, you know, a decent amount of money. So the way we sort of ended up there was just, again, going through these Excel sheets of coming up with a comfortable thing where we had enough to operate, and I felt artists had enough to put in their pockets, and people wouldn't be something that's so much money that, you know, any more than the normal cost of, you know, something at breakfast.
Yeah,
or
you could use the whole cup of coffee analogy, or the McDonald's.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something simple where they wouldn't sweat it. So I think it's a good sort of, you know, safe, comfortable price point.
Yeah, okay. Well, every artist gets $5 of each sale. We talked about that a little bit. Number four is you rank every artist by effort, so working hard gets you more exposure, and that cost nothing. So when you say artists work hard, what do you mean? What makes it, how do you quantify that?
Right. Well, okay. So that began, you know, from the idea of when we were in a band and, you know, our sort of view on the music business, where we felt we were doing all these things, you know, that were right, or we were taking all these shows, or we wouldn't pass up on any opportunities. And then there was always bands that would come along, you know, that we felt like didn't put in their time. And, you know, got to sort of skip steps on the way up, you know, and would get in front of more people, let's say, undeservingly. So, you know, and if you go on a lot of these sites now, the way they sort of rank bands or show you things, you know, in particular order, is often based on, you know, who has the biggest, the most plays, or the most hits, or the most spins, or the most requests, or, you know, it could be, you know, there's reports now that there's payola again, right? So they would pay for that stuff. So I'm trying to take some data and look at it differently, and look at things that I think show who's working harder, who's got that sort of ethic that my old band had, where you're sort of taking all these opportunities, you're taking every show you can get, you're making the most of those opportunities. You're not sort of just living and dying on the internet. You're sort of doing a little bit of everything. And hopefully the bands that do that are you know, sort of building their career the right way, and to me are more deserving of someone's attention than somebody that just paid, you know, to be higher up on a list.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
But we'll see if it works. That's the theory,
yeah,
you know.
Good luck. It's a noble cause. I think you have your work cut out for you there, but good luck.
Sure.
Oh, one more question. Do you think that you're going to be able to get kids these days with their, you know, ADD and their, you know, blood sugar levels and whatever the fuck, and drinking their Four Loko? Do you think you're going to be able to get them to sit down and listen to an entire album, or be willing to pay for an entire album to listen to?
Yeah, you know what? That's funny, because when I was shopping around for sites to help build it, right, the first guy I met thought I was nuts. That I wanted people to make choices, that I wanted people to sit down and, like, look at stuff and sift through artists. He's like, you're creating a record store, you know, like, where I would go rifle through CDs. And I was like, exactly, that's exactly what I want to create. And he was like, nobody wants to do that. So, you know, you want everything presented to you. You don't want to make any choices. You want to sit down and have a computer interpret all the stuff. And I mean, I think that's nuts because it's not that hard, you know, to click a few buttons or to listen to a couple things. I think I'm hopeful that kids will spend some time doing that because it's really not that big of a deal and it's not a lot to ask. And, you know, for example, we make it somewhat easy. So if we have our, you know, top 40 or top 40 movement list of the week, you could just hit play all and it'll cycle through all those for you for, you know, one after another. And if you hear something you like, you can bookmark it or you can click through it and find the artists. So hopefully I've made it at least easy to find the stuff. And then once you found something you liked, easier to find, you know, the next thing. If I've done that, then I think people will stay and spend a few minutes looking at things. I hope.
Are you aiming to knock Spotify and Pandora off their pedestals, or are you looking to
No.
So you're going to, you want to be more like the corner record store to those guys'
Yeah, I could care. I have no interest. I mean, to me, I have nothing to do with them. I'm not competing against them. You know, they're completely driven by pop artists and big money dollars. I'm happy to work with upcoming acts, independent artists, artists that, you know, can sell 200 albums or 1,000 albums. They don't, again, a niche that I, you know, played in and all the music I liked was in. So to me, I have nothing to do with those sites. If anything, it may be more of a competition with like a Bandcamp or CD Baby because, you know, unsigned acts can sell their own stuff there. But yeah, I'm not trying to, you know, be the sort of major label anything.
So it's more about giving up and coming acts, you know, helping them get a foothold in the industry.
Yeah.
Getting their name.
Maybe
out.
Like a proving ground or something, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Like a better start, a better, you know, base for, you know, giving your career in music a go.
Well, listener BB Marley says that since Microsoft retired its Zune today, you have a place in the digital music space now. There you go.
And they got rid of Beats Music today also.
Good.
So how do you like that?
Good. Well, quick. We'll finish this list real quick. So number five is you categorize every artist by scene. That's self-explanatory. And number six, every release is unsigned or licensed by a label. Everything is artist-owned. I think we touched on that. And
sure.
The final point on your seven-point plan is there are no commitments or exclusives. So
sure. Right. So you're free to do whatever you want. If you think... You know, you want to try it out, you try it out. I'm not saying you have to be on my site and nowhere else. I'm not, if you want to put out, you know, a vinyl copy of something, do whatever you want. I'm here to help. I think if the platform grows and there's a community behind it, and then there's, you know, sort of a self-sustaining thing where artists come and there's consumers there and those consumers buy stuff, it would bring more artists to the site, then it'll be, you know, a nice, platform and people will see the benefits of coming and choose to stay there because it delivers what I say it's going to deliver. Again, we shall see. Call me in October 2016.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with this. EFT Mega, everybody go discover your next favorite artist there. That's EFTmega.com. Evan, we appreciate you coming on and talking about this.
Awesome. I appreciate it. And so, you know, again, if you go to the site, if you're an artist, you can click to sign up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not, so who's ever on there is not, you know, set in stone. Hopefully we get more artists all the time. And, you know, right now there's a fee of $25 to sign up. But if you sign up and you contact me, I can, you know, I can waive the fees and make life easier.
The EJC Show exclusive. Just drop EJC Show, then you'll actually pay them $25 is what it says here.
Well, when you sign up, you can list, you know, where you heard of me. So if you heard it on the show, that's good enough for me. And
there you go.
And so the goal is, you know, to get more artists on there and to get people obviously on there to listen to stuff and then hopefully pay for it.
EFT Mega, everybody go check it out, EFTmega.com, EFT Mega. Thanks again, man. We appreciate it. And we'll check in with you maybe, 6 months from now, 8 months, and see how things are going.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I appreciate, you know, the support and the interview and you know, it was pretty thorough. So thanks.
Cool. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. You have a good night. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right. You too. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Bye. There we go. That's cool. You know, I like when people are doing something different.
Yeah.
And he certainly is.
And has a passion for it.
Yeah, and his heart's in the right place. I think that's, you know.
He's out there trying to, you know, help these new bands, you know, he's out there defending the artists, so.
Well, we do have a world premiere here on the EJC show. Nikki Venus wanted to premiere a song called Legacy. Nikki Venus, he is a, think mid-80s, Depeche Mode. With 70s Bowie meets TV on the Radio and LCD sound system. This guy was the winner of a San Diego Music Award for Best Pop, and he received regular airplay and on San Diego stations or something like that. And he wanted to world premiere a song right here on EJC show. And right after we play this, it's actually going to be available at Adobe.com. You can go stream the full EP, I believe it is. Or is it a full album? I don't remember, but it's an EP. Yeah, you can stream that at Adobe.com and watch the lyric video for this.
EJC Show and Adobe.com is your place for world premieres and exclusive content.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Chris. Lots of exclusives on Adobe.com, by the way. We have so many exclusives throughout the week, premieres, so you never know.
Check back in. You never know what's going to drop on any given day.
Right, right. So follow us on Twitter, too, and IW Radio on Twitter and EJC Show, and we'll keep you up to date with that stuff, too. But anyways, without further ado, here's the world premiere. This is called Legacy from Nikki Venus on EJC.
I see myself right there, and I see myself living my life that way. I'm laughing and talking, holding you every day. But I want to know. Yeah, I want to know. You're my legacy.
Jason and Chris. EJCShow.com.
All right, Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. 1-888-99 Adobe. If you want to call in, it's 1-888-994-3624. So the Broncos played yesterday and went to.
You can't talk about it.
It's a big loss for the Broncos.
We can't talk about this.
Why?
Because at the beginning of every game, we're not unless we have written consent from the NFL. We're not allowed to talk about.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about the actual game. I wasn't going to give any scores or play by play or anything else.
Okay.
I was going to say I went tailgating the Broncos game.
Oh yeah.
And like
you guys got
before
had a good time.
Yeah. like walking up to the tailgate spot, my stomach started to like turn. It was like, ugh. And like it felt like there were like knives stabbing my stomach. It's just like really bad gas.
Oh,
you know how you get bad gas?
And you didn't want to fart like, in front of the lady?
Well, no, then I get there and the lady's family is all there and I'm having a good thing is outside cuz I was having uncontrollable gas the entire time
like
at the tailgate.
Audible?
Were you ripping them?
I mean, it was I don't know, it was probably audible, but there's also a lot of noise, a lot of music happening, so it was like the perfect situation to have gas.
And then you can
if
blame
you
the
are
other
around
one.
A lot of people.
Right.
So but the whole time, like, I'm crop dusting her entire family. And
next time you see him, you can be like, I farted on you. I farted on you. Yeah. I farted on you.
I farted on the entire family. I did. I farted on the dog. But it was just like the type of gas that just does not let up. It was just like for at least a solid hour.
Wow. You're.
But then I was good.
Was it one of those with like the stabbing pain gas?
Yeah.
So you gotta, you're like, you don't give a fuck.
Right.
You're like, whatever,
man. It's like, I just gotta get this out.
Yeah.
Were you worried you had to take a shit?
No, I wasn't. That would have been a bad situation.
Yeah.
30-year-old man doesn't know the difference between like a fart and a shit.
Well, if you have very painful farts, then I would assume that there could be a chance that you could shit yourself. Maybe not like a lot, but like a little.
Well,
gamble and lose? You've never heard that?
There's always a chance for that.
Gamble and lose?
Yeah, no.
Little squirt
yeah.
comes out?
I get it. I get
well,
it.
Well, there you go. I didn't want to go down a poop conversation here. I wasn't trying to
yeah,
well,
you brought
up a whole fucking fart conversation. Well, you're really going to judge the evolution of this?
Yes. Right. Let's see what's in the news.
I hate when people do that. They
do
bring
what?
Something up and then... No, we can't talk about it anymore.
I hate when Eddie does that. You
know
what?
Happens a
I'm
lot.
Not going to talk
we
about
can't,
the news.
We can't talk about the news.
This just in, Eddie has uncontrollable gas on Sunday. And
what'd you eat?
Cold pizza in the morning.
Mm, from where?
This is a highbrow show. Okay.
Where'd you have cold pizza from?
It was Domino's. So it was the Domino's mixed with... like a Starbucks double shot.
That'll do it. That'll do it. That really caused
I always like it when people like are like, man, I got such bad shits. And like I'm like, oh. And like 10 minutes later, like, man, this is like my 10th cup of coffee today. I'm like, no shit, you have the shits.
Yeah. Yeah, coffee is a stimulant.
Yeah.
What's in the news?
FYI.
All right. Rob Lowe was taking heat for some tweets he posted about the deadly Paris attacks this weekend. The actor first tweeted, Vive la France, on Friday evening, just after multiple terrorist attacks across the city killed more than 100 people. He next appeared to criticize French President François Hollande, who declared a state of emergency and closed the country's borders. Lowe tweeted, Oh, now France closes its borders. During Hollande's televised speech Friday, Lowe tweeted, This is either the worst translation of an important speech ever, or one of the worst ever given. Twitter users called Lowe insensitive, atrocious, and inconsiderate, and saying that he's vilifying refugees. Some are even calling it the worst tweet of all time.
Ah!
Lowe later defended his remarks and explained his use of Vive la France,
well,
which translates
you know,
to Long Live France.
Who does Rob Lowe think he is?
He also tweeted, lived in France and spend a ton of time there. Been in that stadium. This is also devastatingly sad for a place I love. Hashtag French prayers.
Why do these celebrities...
Hold on, this is the most important part. Oh. Scott Baio, tweeting, bravo, at Rob Lowe, bravo, I'm with you. Adding the hashtag...
Close our borders.
This goddamn
pray for Paris.
This says hashtags.
Yeah, I know.
Close our borders and hashtag pray for Paris.
Why do these celebrities think that they need to get on Twitter and then and say things when they're national tragedies? Like, why do they think that they're that fucking important that they need to make a statement? Nobody's looking to Rob Lowe after the Paris attacks to find out what Rob Lowe has to say about this. So just. Shut up, Rob.
Well, everyone has, you know, that's the point of Twitter, though, is being able to voice your opinion.
I know, but
it just happens that celebrities have more followers and more people see it.
I know, but why does he even feel the need? I mean,
did you feel the need?
I know, and I mean,
aren't we talking about Paris right now?
Yeah, but it's in the news. We're newsmen.
Wasn't.
All I know is that I'm terribly disappointed in Rob Lowe because he portrayed Sam Seaborn in a 90s classic television series, The West Wing. And, yeah, apparently he let his role as a deputy speechwriter get to his head, criticizing French President Francois Hollande.
What the fuck is he talking about
What
right
do you
now?
Mean, what am I talking about?
What are you
about?
Talking about? A TV show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
West Wing?
Yeah, The West Wing.
I never did see that one.
Yeah, me neither.
Wow.
And I probably, like, three people listening saw it, and they got your reference.
But everybody on Twitter...
It wasn't that complicated.
Everybody's saying that Rob Lowe was insensitive, inconsiderate, and his tweet was atrocious. And, you know.
They're also the people that follow...
Right, Rob Lowe.
On Twitter.
And they're also the people that complain about everything, because everything is insensitive and inconsiderate. But at the same time, Rob Lowe probably should just keep his mouth shut, I think.
It's surprising for me, though, because Rob Lowe's a noted liberal, and I guess him and Scott Baio want... To close the borders? That's kind of confusing
to me. Why don't Scott Lowe
Baio
and Rob Lowe go run for office together?
I really feel bad for Rob Lowe right now because Scott Baio had to come to his defense.
Yeah, you know
you're shit creek if you have him backing you up.
Hold on. If I said something offensive and Scott Baio backed me, I would feel bad.
It's pretty cool to see the 80s tweeting right now.
Yeah.
I want you to cue God damn it.
What are you
doing? The theme song from...
Charles in Charge.
No, with the Who.
Oh, you want the
CSI? Cute.
Oh,
get that ready. Get
I'm
that
ready.
On deck.
I'm ready.
I was like, all
right, here we go. Rob Lowe, how Rob Lowe can you go?
Oh wait, hang on, Adam.
God damn it!
What's your Scott Baio pun?
Scott Mayo prefers
Baio.
Mayo over Mexicans and Muslims.
The Who really saves them all, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, The Who...
Well, it's a little bit of misdirection there. It's a thinker.
Yeah.
Like, the Rob Lowe kind of flopped until the music hit.
Well, it was meant to be a, ironically unfunny.
Mm.
Yeah, I call that...
Are you British?
I call that no backing.
Are you British?
Possibly. Hmm. No. But I've been to Britain, and my ancestors are Scots-Irish, so in short, no, I'm not British.
Mm. Fascinating.
Yes.
Well, it's...
I watched most of the UK Office pilot episode, though.
You did?
Yeah, I think I got the gist of it.
Do you guys ever see Army of Darkness?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know there's a... TV series about that now?
Yeah, Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
There is or there's going to be?
There is.
Yeah. Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can I find that?
Stars. Have you watched it?
No, have you?
I haven't watched it yet, but it looks good.
To.
It looks really good.
The Stars have a...
Movies.
Bruce Campbell's back.
Better than ever.
Bruce Campbell never went away, son.
That's right.
Does Stars have a streaming
app? Yeah.
Contract or app?
I'm sure it'll be on Netflix soon enough.
Maybe.
Hope so.
But it does look good. I need to watch that.
Yeah. That's a cult classic.
First Evil Dead kind of sucks. I will say that. The rest are good.
Yeah.
Are you guys watching anything else that's good? What else is good?
What did I start
recently?
There's
a lot of good TV out there.
That's really pretty good. I don't know. Do you guys watch Veep? Veep's good. No. I like that a lot.
Is that a good? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but I haven't watched it.
Julia.
People like Fargo. You guys watch that?
Mm-mm. No, I forgot about that. Yeah, people really do seem to like that. But
Really? I haven't heard one person bring up Fargo ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard
people are loving it.
A couple people bring it up like when it first came out, but I haven't heard
anybody
mention it.
Season 2 is supposed to
be
even better than season 1
in
a while.
I watched The League.
Better!
The League.
The League's still on?
Yeah.
I thought they were done with
Best show on TV.
Ever since that guy...
That show is like...
Funniest fucking show ever.
Custom tailored to you.
Yeah, it is.
It's like
it really
the guy
is.
In your subconscious wrote a TV show.
Yeah, like I missed the boat on that one. I would have been a great writer for them.
Yeah. Well, now you get to enjoy it at least. That didn't go over the air, but Jason just farted.
Yeah.
Which brings us full circle, so it seems like a good time for a break.
This is Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
City Jason and Chris Show, 1-888-99-ADOBE. It's the phone number. It's 1-888-994-3624. You can also Skype us, EJC Show. We do have this band that wanted to come on the show.
What do we get?
Bump them. I don't know. We should get something, shouldn't we?
I mean, we advertise and promote all these bands. What do we get out of it?
I know. Can we at least get something out of it? Jeez.
Oh, jeez, it's my bedtime. I got to go.
We get to sit back and... take a break while they talk.
Yes. Hello, is this Francis?
Yes.
Hello, Francis. You're live on the EJC Show. Francis plays in a band called Caustic Casanova.
All three of us are actually here. Stephanie and Andrew, all three of us are on speakerphone.
All three of you are there. Why are you all three there? What are you doing? You practicing or something? Or what's going on?
We're actually about to play a show right now in Gainesville.
We're in Gainesville, Florida. We're about to play a show.
Sorry about that. Florida sucks.
It's been awesome for us so far.
Oh, has it? That's good.
Yeah, great.
Now, you guys actually, I know that part of your tour, you stopped by Denver. That's where we do our show. How'd that show go for you?
Denver, Colorado, is that what you said?
Yeah, how'd that show go?
That was pretty good. We actually played in a town called Littleton, Colorado, and it was pretty good. The band that we played with, Chingasso, was really awesome, and they're really nice people. It was a pretty solid gig.
Was the venue called G.I. Jody's?
No, it was at a place called Toad's Tavern.
Oh, Toad's Tavern. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Well,
our co-host Jason is from Littleton, actually.
I'm not from there.
Well,
I
live
lives
there. Whatever. Don't split hairs here.
Well,
anyway, and there's a bar called G.I. Jody's in Littleton, and
it's awful.
Never go there.
Thank God
you didn't
go there.
If you ever go back in Littleton,
don't ever
do that. But you guys are from Washington, D.C., though. Washington, D.C. is a really cool city, and that's good. So your fans call you guys the CC, right?
Yes. I mean, I think that originally that was a self-made moniker, but yeah, it makes it easier for people, especially since nobody can spell Caustic Casanova.
It's also six syllables, so it's a mouthful.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I could see the pronunciation thing, but anybody who can't spell Caustic Casanova is not a smart individual. I was going to drop a hard R, but, I feel like maybe I should get away from that. That's not cool.
You're so judgmental, Chris.
Towards myself.
There are lots of people who do not have the capacity to spell that name.
It's also been called Acoustic Casanova.
Caustic Casablanca was my first.
And Caustic Casablanca.
Yes, we were written a check to Caustic Casablanca.
Caustic Casablanca. Now you're talking. Now that's a name. That's a band name. So you guys are, I guess you would be considered heavy rock, huh? Heavy rock.
Yes.
Loud. You guys are just loud.
Yes, we're very loud.
That's good. We like loud bands. Does it ever get too loud, though, when you're playing? I mean, does it ever hurt your ears?
Have you ever turned it up to 12?
Have we ever turned it up to 11? If we could, we would.
Yeah, she rephrased her question, Chris, because you didn't do it correctly.
Shut up, Eddie.
But
we like it loud. I think there's no such thing as too loud.
There is definitely too loud. The ringing in my left ear hasn't stopped since October.
Good.
Do you think when somebody's ears start bleeding, is that like when you're like, okay, perfect, there we are, sound check over?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, our ears are fucked up. We actually, it's the thing with our band. We probably do play too loud, but we enjoy really, really loud music, and everybody always says, you know, you guys really know how to fill a space, and, you know, we try to not stop during our entire set, and it really gets louder and louder, and so, you know, we like to use volume as an aesthetic, which I think is good.
Nothing's worse than a concert that's too quiet.
No, there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than a concert with too much silence in between. You know, bands that can't banter with the crowd and are tuning for 10 minutes between songs.
Yeah.
So do you guys not do banter with the crowd between songs, or do you just go song to song to song?
I wouldn't call it a banter with the crowd, but we talk about what we have available at the merch booth and, you know, tell them who we are, where we're from, just little things like that. And then we fill the space with a lot of, like, psychedelic noise.
You guys are getting this is a fun thing that's happening live on the air. We're getting hassled by a homeless person right on the air.
Good.
He's banging on the window.
Can we talk to him?
Jeez.
Can we talk to him? Can you put him on?
Yeah. He just rode away on his bicycle.
He just rode away, but that was a fun slice of tour life for you guys right there. Exclusive, Costa Casanova and a homeless guy.
And you were just saying that Florida was a nice place.
Well, you've been...
I guess first.
You've been on tour, stuck in a van. You probably stink. Can you blame him for assuming that he's like, oh, it's one of us?
Exactly. He probably thought we were kindred spirits with how bad this fart box smells.
Yeah.
Well, on Facebook, you guys have about a little over 2,000 likes. That's pretty good. Good for you. So
And those are all real people that we make our fans one by one. They're all real people.
But your tour here is pretty extensive. I mean, I'm pretty sure that number is going to keep going up and up. I mean, you guys started touring back on October 10th, and you go all the way through December 12th, and it looks like a date after date after date after date after date. Pretty aggressive touring. So did you guys have to quit your jobs for this, or how did this go?
We all have, well, two of us have really flexible jobs, and Andrew had to quit his job. And, you know, I guess he'll figure that out.
I still haven't completely ruined my life yet, so I don't really need to start planning my backup career just yet. So we'll see what happens.
I challenge Costa Casanova to pledge right now that they won't stop touring until they've gotten 2,020 likes.
What is your challenge?
Costa Casanova won't stop touring until they get 2,020 likes.
Well, they have 2,139, Chris.
Oh, I just heard 2,000.
Yeah.
Job well done. Pack it in, guys.
Wow.
Good yes, job. Well, with challenge accepted, and I guess...
Exceeded.
Well, now you guys are touring all the way through the Thanksgiving holiday. How are you guys going to celebrate that on the road? You going to... like fry a turkey?
We're taking a break for Thanksgiving, we're just going home, and then we're going to be like back for, I don't know, 5 or 6 days, and then we're going back for some December shows. So okay. I don't know, we're just celebrating with family. I think Andrew's going home to New Jersey, and I'm going to be in DC, and Stephanie's going to be in Virginia.
Wow, you guys are all over the place. Well, there you go. So you're Caustic Casanova on their 2015 North American tour right now. Your new album is called Breaks. We actually have that here. We'll play something off it. What do you want us to play? We'll play any cutoff of here. Which one should we play?
Just gonna play one song.
I mean, we could play them all at the same time. We could cue them all up, and just start them all at once if you want us to.
Extremely experimental and really wild, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are really long, so if you don't have a long time, we could ask you to play or tell you to play a shorter one. But
We can play whatever one, whichever one you want. When you say pretty long, what do you mean, like 15 minutes?
There's one. There's one that's 13.
Oh, really? Well, which one should we play? What you tell us?
Yeah, Thunder Snow.
The first song.
Thunder Snow?
Yeah.
Okay, this song is 7.5 minutes. So
well, we're not known for brevity.
We need to warn our affiliates we're going over in time. So, it's okay. Well, thanks, Chaz. We appreciate you coming on the show. It's Caustic Casanova.
Can't you play everyone Show Some Shame or Kezoteca?
Let's do Show Some Shame. We just put out a video for it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you have a video for this out. People can go check out. This song is only 4 minutes.
Yeah.
4 minutes.
Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate you coming on the show, everybody. There, what do we have? Stephanie, yeah. Francis, and Andrew. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. And big shout out to your former member, Michael.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, guys.
Absolutely. You guys stay safe on the road.
We'll do. We will.
Cool. Thanks, guys. There you go. Let's play the song here.
Drone from the grave.
Walker's home phone number. 1-888-99-IDOBE.
Jason and Chris show. All right. Let's get to Chris's news.
Yeah.
See what's in the news.
We all sound very excited.
Yes. All right. Get to the news. What's happening in today's world? There's so many things happening.
Uh-huh.
Hey. What about the four things you should not buy on Black Friday? Oh, my God. What a list.
It's a very long
What a
thing.
Listicle.
All right, here
Don't
we
read
go.
The whole. Just go fast.
Yeah, right. Fine. Fuck off.
You can't do that.
Shut
Don't
up.
Read this whole thing.
I'm not going to read the whole thing. All right, four things not to buy on Black Friday. Electronics, toys, jewelry, and apparel.
You have no explanation. And there you go.
You said go fast.
Electronics.
Look, don't be a fucking micromanager. All right?
Here are four things.
Why are you telling me what stories to read? Let me do my thing.
Why don't you give anybody any explanation, though? You just, like, brush
because
through
Because you
it.
Told me to go fast.
You think anybody's going to, like, take this list to heart now? Cause, like,
do you think anybody really cares about it?
Why should anybody take the list to heart in the first fucking place?
Because it's coming from you. You're a respected newsman.
Well,
this isn't
it's
news.
Not coming from me. It's coming from Eddie because he's walking all over my spot.
This is not news. That's what you stand for, real hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah.
This is hard-hitting.
I like the next one.
There's a lot of percentages in here. They That's say scary. That 55 million products from over... they examined 55 million products from 4,500 retailers.
Faster.
And you shouldn't buy electronics.
Ba-da-bum.
Here's what you shouldn't do. Don't do Black Friday at all.
Yeah.
Because it's the terrible. 5 hours you spend Stupid. In line, not worth the $99 you spend on a big, you save on a big screen.
Unless you're on a budget.
Yeah, but should you be working if you're on a budget instead of standing in line?
What if you don't have work that day, like a lot of people?
Well, maybe you should ask for extra hours.
I had to go to a store at midnight the day of Thanksgiving to do a favor for my dad because he wanted to get a necklace for my mom that was, like, you know, limited thing or whatever. And he, like, is incapable of staying up past 10 o'clock. And, yeah, it was a fucking nightmare. It's terrible.
Did you go by yourself?
It's terrible, yeah.
What you should have done is had invited us and we could have drank.
How many
been
people
awesome.
Did you shank?
I think you lived in Littleton and...
I would have made the trip.
To Westminster?
Yeah, well, I would have had a crash with you, but we could have gotten hammered and just waited in line all drunk.
You would have done that?
Yeah. I didn't wait in line. Like, the store was open Thanksgiving night, which is such a dick move. I fucking hate that. Like, what a bunch of assholes. You know? Fuck you, corporate
well,
America.
I guess REI
Fuck
is
you.
Saying that they're not going to be open on Black Friday.
That's because they don't do a lot of business on Black Friday, so who cares?
Right. I know, but they spun it into, like, some big
yeah,
PR
Yeah, it's great.
Move.
And they're a co-op.
They're like, oh, yeah, we're doing this for our employees. And then people are like, well, not so fast. Maybe it's because you actually lose money. Dicks. Because if they made money, they would not close on Black Friday. But I'm not doing any of that nonsense. Are you guys?
What, no.
Black Ooh, Friday?
No, never.
I have to work.
Ugh. That sucks.
You have Black Friday sales at your bike shop?
No.
Oh.
Good.
Oh, so you don't have to go in at like 4 a.m. or anything? All right. I almost forgot I was doing news for a second. One in three couples in a long-term relationship can't remember the last time they had sex. Researchers also found that 1 in 10 even admit they no longer have a sexual relationship with their partner at all. Yikes. Many couples blame work and family life for the lack of passion in their life, with about 20% of young adults saying that work always comes before their partner. The study also found that the top fantasy in the bedroom is doctors and nurses, followed by French maids,
yeah,
schoolgirl, and
turn.
Secretary. Yes, it really did.
That took a left turn.
Well, I guess it was talking about, like, occupations. It's all different occupations.
Well,
where men exploit women sexually and put them in positions where it's sort of a pseudo, you know, murky consent sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Murky consent.
I guess, yeah.
Is that what you told the judge? It was murky consent.
Hold on here. See, you threw me off with your whole talk about the story up front. Now I don't even know what fucking page. All right. A 24-year-old woman from Charleston, South Carolina, quote, intentionally, end quote, threw herself over the side of a cruise ship that was hosting an electronic dance music festival.
EDM, as the kids call it.
Mm. Allegedly, she was in the middle of a twerk-off.
Ah!
The woman had been identified by the United States Coast Guard as Kaylin Rose Sommer, with an O instead of U. The 2015 Mad Decent Boat Party was about 22 miles off the coast of Cuba when she took the plunge. The chartered cruise set sail from Miami on Wednesday and was headed to Cozumel, Mexico. A Coast Guard alligator cutter boat and a C-130 rescue plane were sent out to look for the... Oh, my God. Were sent out to look for the woman, but weren't successful. Oh, I didn't know she died.
Does Scott Pelley say, oh, my God, in the middle of reading a news story, Chris?
I don't know. Maybe he should.
Maybe he should, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Make it more humanized.
Yeah, I didn't know this woman died.
This is like
why don't you cut the effect?
This is like the second time in like 3 weeks someone jumped off a cruise ship.
I know, but why?
And we've reported it.
Why are
really?
People jumping?
Yeah, yeah, you
people
have.
Are, people are. You have. Oh. People are going mad at jumping off of cruise
I don't listen to the news.
Ships.
I just read it.
Yeah. Can we
why are people jumping off of cruise ships?
Can we back up and just talk about
no
how
more
Chris,
shrimp in the buffet?
Chris just talked about a man jumping off a cruise ship like 3 weeks ago, and he doesn't remember it, and he's like, "This has never happened before."
I don't remember.
How
this
is such a tragedy?
Never happened before. But I did just say that I read the news and I don't listen to it.
No more shrimp in the buffet. You said that, yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that. But why? Why? Would you guys ever jump off of a goddamn cruise ship?
What a stupid question to pose.
After a twerk-off, specifically? That's for you, Chris.
Such a stupid question.
Yeah.
You don't have twerk-offs?
Goddamn.
All right. Well, you know.
Boom! Ba-da-boom!
Why do you hate the EJC show, Eddie?
Wait.
Don't make you throw off you off a cruise ship.
If you have a nasty boss, hey... This is very apt. If you have a nasty boss, it's likely that he or she has an unhappy home life.
Aw.
Researchers studied more than 150 mid-level managers and all of the employees who report directly to them at a Fortune 500 company. They found that supervisors who experienced more family work conflict were more likely to be verbally abusive to their employees. They also found that... This is thorny. They also found that female supervisors were more likely to verbally abuse employees than male supervisors.
Hmm. Maybe females feel like they need to prove something.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's controversial, but yeah, maybe, you know, women feel more, a little bit defensive more.
Right.
Just, yeah.
It's society.
The man's world, yeah.
Society's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
That explains a lot coming for Eddie, though.
I wouldn't normally say this, but good work with the soundboard. You threw that together right away, and it was good.
Go.
And yeah,
there you go.
I guess good work with the splash as well.
You should probably end the soundboard on a high note tonight.
I probably should.
All right. A sleep expert says people would get at least another hour of sleep if smartphones had a bedtime mode. The professor says the trend for manufacturers to make gadgets bigger and brighter is harming our sleep patterns and could have... Well, I don't think we need an effect for every story. And could have a huge... This is why Eddie loves the news. He just,
this wasn't an effect. I fell asleep during your news. Sorry.
Yeah.
What a day. Keep going, because I have something to say.
Yeah. Phones are harming our sleep patterns and could have a huge impact on our overall health.
Ah.
He said that manufacturers need to show more responsibility and include a bedtime mode which would shift blue and green light emissions to yellow and red.
Mm.
He says this will not cause a delay in the body producing a sleep hormone, melatonin, and help people sleep more.
You think this guy has a smartphone or a flip phone?
Smartphone.
Because if you turn off your notifications and put it on vibrate, you don't get notified. Your phone won't do anything.
So it's a two-step process instead of just hitting one button?
Well, I think there's a feature around it that he didn't comprehend.
Well, I don't
have
an iPhone.
Are you too lazy to flip a switch and turn notifications off?
I don't have an iPhone, so I don't know how to.
What about yours, though? Does yours have that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, I never get notified at night.
It's not about that. It's about the emissions of the screen.
Right. Your screen's dark when it's not being notified.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
really
know. Eddie?
Mine is.
I don't think mine does. I don't think mine.
Your screen is just on, like, bright all night?
Mine?
Yeah.
Mine is, I don't know. I don't really use my phone.
I don't get
bed.
Emails until the morning. Like, at a certain time, like, it knows when I'm sleeping, so, like, it doesn't.
Your phone knows when you're sleeping?
It doesn't push notifications to me.
What kind of a futuristic world is this?
I don't know, but then I wake up in the morning and I'm making coffee and my phone goes off with all the emails from the night.
How do you do that? You told your phone when you sleep?
No, it just knows, like, when I'm not active on it. I don't know how it does.
That's weird.
Is it weird?
Yeah.
Or is it just cool?
Weird.
So you get emails throughout the night?
No, it's really, that was it.
Oh, that's
you
it?
Get the okay. You get emails throughout the night? Like,
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I usually turn my phone on silent because otherwise it'll be like.
Yeah, mine doesn't do that because I always have my phone on
maybe
silent.
Maybe nobody emails you at night.
No, I get all sorts of random radio guest host emails and shit.
I don't even have a.
Hey, this is Jim.
I want to be.
I caught the biggest alligator in Louisiana,
and I think I'm perfect for EJC.
Hit me up.
We get those emails all the time.
We get those emails all the goddamn time, and yeah, those don't get pushed through until the mornings.
I don't even have my phone alert me for emails anymore. It just kills my phone. Like, it's every fucking 15 minutes. Like,
See, for work, I have to have mine.
Like, I can still access my email, but I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as
I'll
get a vibrate,
check it
I
like
check.
Like a normal person.
Yeah, every time I see or feel vibrated, I got to check my email to make sure nothing's burning.
Well,
same with Eddie, I'm sure.
To make sure nothing's burning, yep.
Yeah, make sure there's no, like, hot fire. Yep.
Gotta put out fires. It's hot. Ooh. Hot.
Where's the sizzle sound?
Hot. Ooh, I wasn't ready with the sizzle. Sorry. No sizzle. I already closed the sound effects machine.
Damn.
No sizzle, no steak.
Yeah.
No sizzle.
Just salad and potato tonight, folks.
No sizzler, no steak. That's always been my motto.
Yeah.
I won't eat steak anywhere else.
Oh, there it is.
Including the sizzler.
You don't like steak?
I'm a vegetarian.
Steak? I know, but do you miss it?
I did for a while, but I don't miss it anymore.
Hmm.
Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on the EJC Show. That pretty much wraps it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Get our podcast, EJCShow.com, and we'll see you next time.